Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Appraisal Buzzcast. I'm Jim Morrison, and with me, as always, is our host, Hal Humphreys. Hey, Hal, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Well, we have a great guest today, Steve Kahane, and we're going to be talking about his new AEL course, Believe It or Not, Creating Credible and Supported Adjustments. Let me bring him in. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Steve Kahane. You are a relatively new instructor here with Appraisery Learning. This is your first year in the process. Couple things. Number one, how do you like teaching with Appraisery Learning?
So far, so good. I have one under my belt, and I think it went well.
Good, good. I got really good reviews from the class. People had good things to say about it, so that's exciting. Second thing, Steve, you came and joined us last summer for an event that we created last summer called ICOR, the Instructors Conference and Retreat. Tell me a little bit about that. What was your impression of that conference?
A few takeaways that I had. I think it gave me the confidence to become an instructor. I taught a few times before in a limited setting, and I think it gave me not only some insights on ways to improve my classes, but also the confidence to feel like I could present it on a national scale.
I love it. We have ICOR coming up again this summer. We're looking at June 3rd and 4th here in Nashville, Tennessee. Steve, I hope to see you here. But for the folks listening, if you have any interest whatsoever in becoming an instructor, you can join us in Nashville June 3rd and 4th for the ICOR conference, Instructors Conference and Retreat, right here in Nashville in the headquarters of Appraisery Learning. Two full days of really good information for instructors. And we don't just talk about pedagogical learning modalities and stuff like that. We talk about how to actually present material in an entertaining and engaging way. We have professional educators come in and talk about some tactics that you can use in the classroom to get people engaged. So, Steve, it was great to see you last year, and hope to see you again this year. For the folks in the room that don't know who Steve Kahane is, tell us a little bit about your history in the business.
So I'm a certified residential appraiser in Cypress, Texas. It's a suburb of Houston. I've been doing residential appraisals here since 2001, but I got my start as a commercial appraiser in Chicago, Illinois. I'm currently the president of the Association of Texas Appraisers. I'm on the board of governors for the National Association of Appraisers. And for those of you in the audience who aren't a part of an organization, I would strongly recommend it. I've made some lifelong friends. I've expanded my pool of peers that I can contact with questions. I'd strongly recommend that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the NAA, the National Association of Appraisers. I've been in this business for a long time, and it is, by and large, my favorite appraisal organization because they are there for boots on the ground real estate appraisers. They support boots on the ground appraisers. It is a really good organization, and they do some really good things for appraisers, not the least of which is they offer a thing called the Appraiser Relief Fund. And, you know, I'm on the board of directors for the NAA. I'm proud of that membership, and I'm proud to be on the board of directors. Steve has been involved in the NAA for several years now. Steve, I don't know off the top of my head how much money the NAA has raised to help out appraisers who are in trouble, but it's not a small sum of money. And I know that they have, doled out money to people who have lost an office due to fire, people who have been out of work because they had a heart attack, stuff like that. And it's a really good organization to be a part of. Not only do they help appraisers financially when they're in need, but they provide scholarships to people that want to become appraisers. They also offer, with Appraisery Learning, continuing education at conferences, the Appraisers Conference and Trade Show, which is coming up next month in Colorado Springs. It's just a fantastic organization. So thank you so much for bringing that up, Steve. Are you going to be at the AXE show in Colorado Springs?
I am not. I'm going to be sending our vice president, who's going to be taking over for me in August. So he's going to be there in my stead.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, let's do this. I'm going to take a real quick break and hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that NAN hosts quarterly discussions with our appraisal panel on bias, inclusion, equity, and diversity initiatives that impact the appraisal industry? The topic of bias in the appraisal world will remain at the forefront of legislative, agency, and lender priorities well into the future. At NAN, we believe that intentional bias is only a very small fraction of the underlying issue, and that outdated policies and regulations and unconscious bias are a far greater concern. It's our hope to work closely with the appraiser community as partners in an endeavor to improve processes and procedures and ensure equitable treatment for all valuations. Learn more by visiting nan-amc.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Appraisal Buzz. I'm Hal Humphreys. I'm joined today by Steve Kahane. Steve is an instructor with Appraisery Learning. You know, Steve, your course, tell me the title again. I know it's a mouthful, but tell me the title again.
It's Believe It or Not, Creating Credible and Supported Adjustments.
I got a call last week from someone who is involved in regulating appraisers. And this person asked me, he said, I'm really frustrated. I see a lot of reports coming through where the appraiser has no support for their adjustments. And it's 2024. How do we get appraisers to show support for their adjustments? Many appraisers don't know how to properly support their adjustments. They were maybe given bad information during training, or maybe they didn't learn correctly. It's the most common way to get your appraisal looked at by the state for disciplinary action. Number one, why should appraisers be worried about supporting their adjustments? Number two, talk to me about your course and how you walk appraisers through that. So why should they be worried about supporting their adjustments?
So I'll give you a few reasons. First, like you said, it's on the radar of the regulators. FHFA recently came out with something saying that they were looking for more support for adjustments. I don't know which regulator you spoke to, but Lyle Radke recently on a webinar talked about the same thing, saying that he would like to see that more. Lyle Radke from Fannie Mae. And I think with big data now, it gives them a much better look into adjustments. They can not only compare your report to your peers who may have appraised something in the same neighborhood, but also your report to other appraisals you've done in the same or other neighborhoods. And when they see you making a $1,000 bathroom adjustment on a $100,000 home and a $1 million home, and on every home that you appraise, that's a red flag to them. And big data, the UCDP, allows them to do that. It also happens to be, it used to be the number one cause for disciplinary action in my state, in Texas. I think it's down to number two now, so it's still pretty important. I also think that for a long time, USPAP was the minimum standard that we had to follow, and it was a good enough standard because there wasn't anything else that they could hold us accountable to. There was no other bar with which to measure our valuations. As far as the Appraisal Foundation and your state agency, USPAP is still the bar that you have to meet. However, I think the GSEs, FHA, VA, I think they're looking for a little bit better accuracy and precision. Again, that's something that they can measure with all the big data that they collect. And so I think they're holding us to a higher standard. And if we lack precision, if one appraiser is making a $5,000 adjustment for something when someone else is making a $50,000 adjustment, it diminishes trust. And that's the bottom line. We have to uphold the public trust. And if our values differ, if our adjustments differ, they're not going to trust us. And if they don't trust us, they're going to find an alternative.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up FHFA. And for the folks in the audience that don't know exactly, you know, the structure of FHFA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHFA is the regulator that regulates Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're the ones that say, we need you to do this. We need this from you. They're really the shot callers. I know Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac get a lot of comments from appraisers saying, why are you asking us to do this? Why are you asking us to do that? A lot of it is because FHFA is saying, we want you to do these things. And the blog posts that you mentioned, there are two from FHFA in the past month, where they talk about a lack of support for adjustments. Steve, one of the examples that I was given not long ago was an appraiser adjusting, you know, for square footage based on $35 a square foot for every home that he appraised, regardless of location, regardless of anything, just $35 a square foot is what I adjust for square footage differences. And no support whatsoever. And a number of appraisals, that every one of them were adjusted at $35 a square foot. Let me ask you this. How will your course help appraisers make better adjustments?
So I think there's two ways. One, it helps you understand the theories behind each adjustment method, so that you can better understand which ones apply to you. If you're in a major metropolitan area, statistical analyses might be something better suited for you. If you're in a rural area where you don't have enough data to do something statistical, you're probably going to have to rely on some different methodologies. And so it helps you determine which methodologies are going to be best for your market based on the data that you have at your disposal. And then as far as the credibility portion of it, it helps you identify not only what's credible, but you need to be able to, not only, it has to make sense not just to you, but to the intended user. They have to understand what you're doing too. And it helps you explain to them why it's credible.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. You know, you were talking about the differences between kind of more rural areas versus an inner urban area. I've heard a lot of people talk recently about, you know, what is the definition of rural? What is the definition of suburban? How do you tell the difference between the two? And I saw something today that helped clear it up for me. Steve, tell me if this makes sense to you. If you're sitting on your front porch and you're naked and nobody sees you, it's rural. If you're sitting on your front porch and you're naked and someone calls the cops, it's suburban. If you're sitting on your front porch and you're naked and everybody ignores you, it's urban. Does that make sense?
It does, but it bothers me that you were looking at me on my porch this morning.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a real quick break and hear from one of our other commercial sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Need a profitable PDC solution for your clients? Jaro's appraisal management software makes the process faster and easier. With Jaro, you can order standard appraisals, inspections, and hybrids, all on one seamless platform. The software also gives you everything you need to manage new vendors by taking care of background checks and letting you shop from a pre-vetted panel of inspectors with a wide range of credentials. Get started with Jaro today at tryjaro, that's tryjaro.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Appraisal Buzz. I'm Hal Humphreys, and I'm joined today by Steve Kahane, who I was not watching on his front porch this morning. Steve, a couple more questions. Why should someone sign up and take this class?
I think it's what I tried to design into the class is it should be good for people at most every level. Assuming you've had it, you're taking it for continuing education, so you at least have some appraisal theory. And so assume you have that basic level of knowledge and have some, you've heard of these different adjustment methods. For those who don't really have a grasp on how to make adjustments, it'll go through that. For those who do have some methods that they use, it'll help them determine whether or not they're credible, whether or not they're reliable, and it'll introduce them to some different techniques that they might be able to incorporate.
Okay. I like that answer a lot. Look, you know, when FHFA writes a blog post saying we're not seeing adjustments, we're not seeing support for adjustments, when Lyle Radke from Fannie Mae mentions on a podcast they're having struggle with supported adjustments when another regulator calls me and says we're having struggle with supported adjustments. I want to be clear about this. I think by and large, most of the appraisers that we interact with do have support for their adjustments and do a pretty good job of it. I'm, you know, in my work, I have always tried to show support for my adjustments. I don't always do as good a job as I should. And Steve's class, which I have not taken, but I have reviewed and been through, is a fantastic reminder for practicing appraisers of how you can better support your adjustments. I think you should sign up for the class and take it. It's a great class. Steve does a good job of teaching it. Again, he's taught it one time so far, but the reviews were amazing. We had some really good feedback from folks about the class. So if you get a chance, sign up for that, take it. Steve, last question. You've mentioned the phrase big data a couple times. I know, you know, everybody's really excited about big data. I think some people are terrified by big data. Do we as appraisers need to be scared of big data?
So one other quick point I wanted to make about something else I should mention about the class. A lot of people, one of the concerns that appraisers have of making adjustments, they're like, I can't spend 8 hours on every appraisal coming up with all these adjustments. And you don't have to. One, the other part of the class is teaching you how to do this quickly, so that it won't take you time, and how to support those in a master work file so you're not recreating the wheel each time. As far as big data goes, I think it's one of those things, you know, it's kind of like AI. It can be your friend or it can be your enemy. There's good and bad with everything. I think there are some downsides. I think that depending on how the data is used, I think we can also use that data to our advantage. You know, so far they haven't opened the data up to us, but they're starting to. They've made some of the metadata available, not the individual loan, the mortgages, but some of the statistics from the larger data set. And I think we'll get more access to that data going forward. So no, I don't think we should be scared of it. I think we should embrace it. It's the future. But yeah, there's good and bad with everything.
Fair enough. Steve Kahane, thank you again so much for taking the time to be with us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Jim Morrison, do we by chance have an anonymous appraiser question that Steve and I can try to answer if we feel like we're competent to answer it?
We do. So this question says, I got an offer to provide an oral appraisal for someone. I've never done this kind of appraisal before. Once I provide my value, am I done? Do I need to write down my findings anywhere, or is this done verbally only?
Well, that sounds like a question for a USPAP instructor, but so I don't know that I'm best equipped to answer that, but no, you're not done. There's still some more stuff you have to do.
There is more stuff you have to do. You have to have a work file. You should have enough information in that work file to be able to recreate the oral report that you gave, to be able to support the oral report that you gave. I'm going to go with Steve and say that's a USPAP instructor question. I'm not a USPAP instructor. I'm familiar with the document. I have copies of the documents going back for years, as most of us do. But I'm not a USPAP wonk. But I would say to the appraiser, you are not done just because you did an oral report. There's more work that needs to be done, and most of that revolves around creating an adequate work file to support your oral report. You know, Jim Morrison, I think more often than not, oral reports are problematic because people don't create a work file. They don't have support for what they've done. Most of my friends that do expert witness work, the minute they testify, they will go back to the office and put that information into their already existing work file that they've done. A lot of them will get a transcript of their testimony to put into the work file so that they have that information there. But again, you know, USPAP allows for an oral report, but that's not all the work there is to do it. And I would seriously just say, you know, call Brian Reynolds. Here's his phone number, his personal cell phone number. Call Brian Reynolds asking this question. Anything else we need to cover?
No, I think this is a great episode, Steve. We're really excited for your course. We're going to put the link for the next edition of your course so that people who are interested in this can sign up and take that and get help with their adjustments.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I look, I'm the host of the Buzzcast. I'm one of the owners of Appraiser Your Learning. I know this is a little bit self-serving, but seriously, if you get a chance to take this class, dude, it's a fantastic course. And Steve does a good job of delivering it. And it might just help you out avoiding issues with your state regulators, avoiding issues with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, who are controlled by FHFA, who is really upset that appraisers aren't showing support for their adjustments. So check it out. Steve, one more time with the title of the course.
Believe It or Not, Creating Credible and Supported Adjustments.
Believe It or Not, Credible and Supported Adjustments. If we don't have anything else, for Jim Morrison and Steve Kahane, I'm Hal Humphreys, and that is your Appraisal Buzzcast for this week.